Morning. Today's daf is daf samach aleph in Zvachim 61. We did daf samach yesterday. We did not all daf samach yesterday. We're in samach hamad aleph. We're towards the bottom. We're going to start a new sugya today. Yesterday we spoke about the size of the mizbeach. We noted the mizbeach that was built by Shlomo had a burning area, surface area of 20 by 20 amos. And the question was, on the inauguration day of Shlomo, where they took and burned 142,000 karbanos, so how was it? I know, it sounds such a big number. So impressive. opening day in the Beis HaMikdash. So of the burning of the 142,000 karbanos, so where do you have room for all that? So that was the Gemara's discussion yesterday, and the Gemara really, you know, did its homework, did its math, and figured out what's the rate of burning on the Mizbeach. They figured out the rate based on what we know they burnt on the Mizbeach of Moshe. The Mizbeach of Moshe is debated exactly what its dimensions were. So obviously because of that debate, so the rate's going to change depending on how big Moshe's Mizbeach was. Two basic opinions, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. When you get to, not next week's Parsha, but 3 weeks from now, when you get to Parsha's Truma, and you read about the Mizbeach, you'll hopefully remember, wait a second, right? Some of the numbers in the Torah conforms to Rav Yossi, and some of it conforms to Rav Yehuda. Neither of them will agree with the actual Psukim in the Torah, right? You realize the Torah gives the dimensions as 3 amos high and 5 by 5, right? Both opinions take one of the two dimensions, but not both of those dimensions. No one says that the Mizbeach of Moshe was actually 5 by 5, 3 amos high. Okay, but fine. And each one of them has their limudim in terms of how they arrived at that. Okay, but still, the basic point yesterday was Shlomo HaMelech have offered 142,000 karbanos on the Mizbeach itself. So one opinion was, there's room, yesh makom, there's room on the Mizbeach. And the other opinion that we saw yesterday was, there is no room on the Mizbeach, and that's exactly why Shlomo HaMelech was mekadesh the ritzbah, the actual floor of the Azara, and some of the burning of some of the karbanos that actually took place on the floor of the Azara. And the point that all this was getting to yesterday was that despite all that, still when it comes to the dam and when it comes to the actual blood, blood needs the Mizbeach. You need to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. You may be able to burn karbanos throughout the floor of the Mizbeach because of the Kiddush of Shlomo, but still you need the actual Mizbeach itself. Good. Once we have established that you need the actual Mizbeach itself, so now that segues beautifully into our Gemara today. We're on the bottom of Samach Hamad Aleph, and we're starting about 7 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi is the last 2 words on the line. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mizbeach Shenifgam, Ein ochlim begino shayar mincha. If you have a mizbeach that has a pegima that has a dent in it, a nick in it, right? We discussed mizbeach, in order for it to be a serviceable mizbeach, it's got to be a perfect square. It's almost like a tefillin, right? And it has to be a perfect square, and it has to be smooth on all of its edges, and you can't have a nick or a cut or a dent or a chip in the mizbeach. If you do, the mizbeach becomes pasul. Okay. Now we know you can't. Once mizbeach becomes pasul, so it's already well established that you can't offer a karban to the Mizbeach. Here, we're going to say even a bigger chiddush, a much bigger chiddush. You can't eat karbanos if the Mizbeach is chipped. That means to say that when you offered it, the Mizbeach was fine. And then, you know, somebody, I was going to say, drove the car into the Mizbeach. I don't know what kind of imagery we want over here. Okay, whatever. After the karban was already offered, and now you're sitting there with a perfectly legitimate karban, then the mizbeach becomes chipped. You can't eat anymore. You can't eat your karban anymore. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar. Where? How? How did that come up? Shenama, the pasuk says, "Vachlu matzah, save some mizbeach." The pasuk says you're going to eat your matzah. Not matzah over here. Not. not matzah, Pesach matzah. Matzah over here, just simple menachos. Every mincha is made up of matzah. We've discussed that before. There are a couple of exceptions, but good. But the rule is that every mincha is made out of matzah. So v'achlu matzah, say it's a mizbech, and you eat your mincha next to the mizbech. V'chiyetz on mizbech achlua. Now, what does that mean? You eat it next to the mizbech. That's the halacha. You need to sit right again, sit is not the right word. You need to stand right next to the mizbech in order to eat your matzah. That's not necessary. The menachos have the status of kachim kachim. The menachos you're allowed to eat throughout the azara, but you have the entire azara. You don't have to be standing right proximate to the mizbech. Ella bizmanchu shalem v'lo bizmanchu chaser. No, the mizbech is a matir. The mizbech allows you to eat. You don't have to physically be standing next to the mizbech, but there needs to be a mizbech. Okay, that's absolutely required. So that teaches us, that pasuk teaches us that when you're eating the shayari hamincha, so there has to be a mizbech, not just a mizbech, but a functional mizbech, one that has no nicks or chips in it. Ashkechan shayari mincha kachikash minalan, good. So we have a pasuk by shayari mincha. What about the rest of karbanos? Tamalamar kodesh kadashim. The Torah describes it as being kodesh kadashim. Once we're there, the Torah gives us a category. It conceptualizes for us, and so therefore it includes all the kachi kachim, which is now chatas asham, and not ola, because you're not eating ola, but chatas and asham. Kachim kalim minayin. Okay, same halach is true for kachim kalim. So Amar Abaye asa midrasha de Rav Yossi. So Abaye says we learn it from a drasha of Rav Yossi de Tanya. We learned in the following brisa. Rav Yossi Amar Gimel Parim Mishum Gimel Zakenim. Rav Yossi says three things in the name of three Zekanim. It's right. It's Rashi describes it as being a chain. Davar Echa Mipi Kol Zakin VeZakin. I'm sorry, not a chain, but one thing from each one of the Zekanim. The Echad Mehem Rabbi Yishmael, and one of the Zekanim is Rabbi Yishmael. Amri Yachol Liala Adam Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim VeYochlano VeZman Hazeh. And here now the discussion is nowadays. Without the Beis HaMikdash. So can we go up and can we eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim? Now Maaser Sheni, remember, Maaser Sheni is not a karban. Maaser Sheni is simply the fruit that I take off every year, the 10% of the fruit that I take off, after I take off Truma, and after I take off Maaser Rishon. So then there's a requirement during years 1, 2, 4, and 5 to take off Maaser Sheni, another 10%. But that second 10% that I take off, I don't give to anybody. I keep it for myself, but I have to eat in Yerushalayim. So it has Kedusha, but that kedusha is not me. It's not related to mizbeach. It's not a karban. Just simply means that I have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay. So Rabbi Shmuel Amar Yachol Yala Adam Ma'aser Sheni Yerushalayim Yochlen Bezman Hazeh. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look, here's I'm going to entertain a legitimate havamina, and that is bring it up nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash. Bring up your Ma'aser Sheni and in Yerushalayim Afilu Bezman Hazeh V'dinu. And Rabbi Shmuel says, and look, we can argue. It's a simple argument. So Bechor Tan Avas Makom and Ma'aser Tan Avas Makom, because we know that your Bechor, your firstborn animal, so that there's a requirement of Avas Makom, and Ma'aser also requires Avas Makom. Ma'bechor Einu Ela Bifnei Abayis. Av Ma'aser Einu Ela Bifnei Abayis. So just like Bechor only is Bifnei Abayis, so to Ma'aser is only Bifnei Abayis. Ma'la Bechor Shekein Tal Man Damim. What an interesting and strange comparison between your Bechor and Meister Shani. Bechor, there's something called Matan Damim. It's a karban. You have to sprinkle the blood of the Bechor on the Mizbeach. Of course you're not going to eat the Bechor Bezman Hazeh. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have a Mizbeach. So Matan Damim v'imurim l'gabe Mizbeach. So Bikurim Yochichu. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So Bechor by itself is not going to be sufficient. But how about this? What about Bikurim? Meaning, I know that Bikurim is not a carbon in the sense that there's no Matan Damim, and meanwhile, by Bikurim, there's a requirement of Mizbeach. So I can't nowadays pick off Bikurim and bring it to Yerushalayim. So we're kind of, so good. So I can't learn it out from Bechor, but I'll learn it out from Bikurim. And if, just like Bikurim, I can't bring up to the base of Mikdash, but Zman Hazeh, neither can I bring up my Sheni. So the Gemara says, Mala Bikurim, she came to an Emanacha. Okay, but you're right. Bikurim is not a karban, but the Torah says that you take your Bikurim and you place it on the Mizbeach. So Bikurim need a Mizbeach. So, good. So now I can't prove anything from Bechor. Bechor is a karban. I can't even prove anything but from Bikurim, because even though Bikurim is not a karban, but it needs Mizbeach, so we're back to Ma'aser Sheni. how come I can't bring Meister Sheni nowadays and eat in Yerushalayim? Tamar Lomar Ve'evesim Shama Olo Seichem Mekish Meister LeBechor Ma Bechor Einu Ela Bifnei Habayis Av Meister Einu Ela Bifnei Habayis. Okay, so the Gemara says we have a Hekesh, the Torah in Parshas Re'eh says that you're going to bring over there your Ola and your Maser. So the Torah compares Ola to Meister, just like Ola needs bias. Maestro also needs bias as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, remember, before getting to the Hekesh, the Rabbi Yishmael was trying to operate using a binyanav. Right? We're back in the classics now. So we ended up on Hekesh, but before Hekesh, we worked with binyanav. So we said, you can't compare Maestro Sheni to Bechor. You can't compare Maestro Sheni to Bikurim. So in this system that we always use, so we know if I can't use one, so binyan av mishnei ksuvim. So how about a mehatzad? How about using a common aspect? But the Gemara says that's not going to work. Mishum deikla mifrach malat zad shavu shabahem shekein yesh bahem sab nizbeach. Okay, so the Gemara says a mehatzad is not going to work because bikurim and your bechor both require mizbeach. Meister Sheni does not require Mizbeach. So even the Binyanav using the Mehatzad, using the common denominator of Bechor and Bikurim, is not going to work. Right? And also, by the way, Bechor and Bikurim are spelled with the same letters. But that's not a real point. That's just it is. But fine, but the Mehatzad is not going to work. So the Gemara says they're just Hekesh. Period. That's it. Okay. My Kasavar. So now, remember, so basically what we are saying now is that when it comes to Maaser Sheni, you can't bring it up as Manazah in Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim. And why not? The correct answer is Hekesh, because the Torah compares it. So the Gemara says, isn't there a bigger question, which we're ignoring over here? And that is the Kedusha. Meaning, if in order for you to eat Maaser Sheni, I need to eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, Yerushalayim is not just a physical location. Yerushalayim, I'm eating in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim has Kedusha. Now, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim seems to go hand in hand with the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, why is Yerushalayim holy? Because Yerushalayim houses the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. So, does Yerushalayim still retain its Kedusha? So, here where I'm going with all this? So this touches on one of the more fundamental questions that the Gemara keeps going back to again and again. In Shavuos we did it. In Megillah we're doing it. Right? Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, Kishel HaShaisa, the Kishel HaAsid Lavo. This takes us to one of the more fundamental questions. Even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, does the Kedusha continue or not? And the answer is, it's subject to a debate, a big machlokas. So, my kasavi, kasavi kedusha rishon kishul ashayta v'kishul asid lavo. So, afilo b'chor nami. So, the Gemara says, if the kedusha perpetuates, you can offer the b'chor even nowadays. Now, I mean, it really touches on some other fundamental questions. How are you offering the b'chor? Meaning, if where are you sprinkling the blood of the Bechor? Okay. So, I don't expect people to have answers. I mean, in other words, it's at this stage of the discussion, it's really more of a theoretical than it is a practical. There was a Mizbeach even after destruction of the temple, right? The Megillah Gemara there discusses that they offered Bebeis Chonyo. There was a temple out in Egypt, right, built by Chonyo, which is a story in of itself, which is not for now. Okay, so right now we'll just deal with the theoretical. We'll deal with a little more of the abstract. But still, the Gemara says, this discussion of eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim is really a Kedusha question. So if you hold that Kishul Shaita v'Kishul Asad Lavav Filu B'chor Nami, in theory, you could also bring B'chor B'zman Hazeh. V'Kasar Lo Kishul Asad Lavav Filu B'chor Nami Tibayeh. And if the Kedusha does not perpetuate, so then B'chor, you can't bring a B'chor B'zman Hazeh. So the bothers the Gemara over here is you're having a very technical discussion, which really this could be a more fundamental discussion of where are we in the Kedusha. So Amar Ravina Lolam Kesav Lo Kisha. So let's work with the assumption, although again it's a major machlokus, but let's work with the assumption that there's no more Kedusha. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's no longer any Kedusha. So, what are we dealing with over here? The Beis HaMikdash, last days of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Last day of the Beis HaMikdash. And you had a Bechor, and you sprinkled the blood of the Bechor. And the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Can you eat the Besar of the Bechor, even though there's no longer Beis HaMikdash? Okay? And the Kedusha is no longer in perpetuity. That's where we're at right now. That's where this discussion is. And the Gemara says, So v'chare v'adayim besar kayam. The itkish besar l'damo. Madamo b'mizbech, af besaro b'mizbeach. Good. And now that's the limud. The limud is, look, I need the mizbech to be matir it. I need the mizbech for the dam. Right? I can't eat a carbon unless I sprinkle the blood on the mizbech. That is the basic necessity of every carbon. It's really the definition of every carbon. In order for me to be able to eat the carbon, I need mizbech for the dam. Just like I need mizbech for the dam, I need mizbech for the basar as well. Meaning in the Hava Mina, you could have said, no, that just to eat the meat. I don't need a mizbech. I have the meat. No, that's the Chiddush. That mizbech is there also for the meat as well. And now we've established that. Now that we know that by Bechor, in order to eat the meat, I need mizbeach. Now I have the Hekesh, and the Hekesh is there to tell me that in order to eat my Sosheni, I need mizbeach as well. Okay. So you're violating some basic rules that we've established throughout our Masechta. And that is, you can't go Hekesh Hekesh. You just made one Hekesh to tell me that I can't eat the meat of Bechor unless I have the Mizbech. But I only know that because we compare the meat to the Dam. That's one Hekesh. And then we're comparing Meiser Shady to Bechor. That's a second Hekesh. You can't make two jumps like that. So Meiser Dagan Chulin Hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look where we are. Look where we're landing. We're landing on Meiser Shani. That's not Kodesh. That's not Kachim. That's Chulin. Right? Meiser Shani, it's a strange animal, Meiser Shani. It's not an animal, first of all. It's produce. But still, it's strange. Because it has Kedusha. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but it's not real Kachim. It's not real Kachim. But so the Gemara says, so we didn't violate any basic rules. Because we're going Hekesh to Hekesh. We're going Dam to Basar Bechor. But then we're going from Basar Bechor to Meiser Shani. Meiser Shani, that's not Kachim.
Hanich. Okay. Correct,
but right, and that shows you that the Kedusha is transferable. But even though, again, it goes back to the basic that it has Kedusha, but it's not Kachim. Right? It's not carbon. Okay. So Hani Khalaman Damar Basar Lamed Azlina, Nelaman Damar Basar Melamed Azlina Maikala Meimar. So the Gemara says that also touches on a basic machlokas that we've visited and revisited a number of times. In our rule of you can't jump from one Hekesh to another, the question becomes, what do I look at? Do I look at what I'm learning from, or do I look at what I'm learning to? So it happens to be, you're right, the destination of where I'm learning to is Meiser Shani. And you're right, that's not Kachim, that's Chulin. Correct. But if I, when working through these rules, the system of Ein Melamdim Hekesh Mehekesh, I can't go from one Hekesh to another Hekesh, there are those who say, it doesn't matter what you're going to, it matters what you're learning from. So I went from Dam to Basar, from Basar to Meiser Shani. But where I went from is the meat of the Bechor, that's Kachim. So I did violate the rule. Doesn't matter that I'm going to Meiser Shani. I went from my Basar Bechor. So the Gemara says, Dam Basar Chanamilsehi. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, Dam and Basar is really Chanamilsehi. It's really one thing. So the Gemara says that we're not going Hekesh Hekesh because the Dam Basar is one point, right? It becomes an accounting issue. Meaning that we're not jumping from Dam to Basar. Dam and Basar is really one holistic point that I need Mizbeach for Dam and Basar. And now that we've established that, now that we're there, and now that the Torah makes a Hekesh between Meiser Shani and the Dam Basar of Bechor, so good. So now I know that it's only one Hekesh, period. All right? So, and all this results in the beginning of today, of what we started today. Meaning the point of Rebbe Lazar is that when you have a Mizbech Shenifkam, once the Mizbech is dent or chipped, or what we're discussing right now, totally destroyed, either way, I can't eat karbanos. Okay, period. So the part of the consumption of the karbanos, the prerequisite of eating karbanos is I need Mizbech. Right? Not just the Mizbech so I could sprinkle the blood, more than that. Even if the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbech facilitates the eating of karbanos. That's the Chiddush of Rebbe Elazar. And the Gemara says, and it basically, we derive it through through Hekesh. And it extends not just to karbanos, it extends even to Maaser Sheni as well. I need Mizbech in order to eat Maaser Sheni. And that's why nowadays, says Rabbi Yishmael, we don't eat Maaser Sheni. What do we do in Eretz Yisrael nowadays? Anyone know?
Trade it on a coin.
Right. So what we do in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, right, if anyone's seen this, is that they take their Maaser Sheni food, produce, and they transfer the Kedusha onto a coin. Right. You don't need, right, it's a legal loophole, but it's legitimate. You don't need a dollar-for-dollar exchange. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you could take a whole bunch of Maaser Sheni produce mm-hmm. and transfer it onto just one coin. And then what happens when you get to the end of the third and the end of the sixth year, when Biartim and Akodesh, when you need beer, when you need to destroy it, so you know what they do? They destroy the coin.
The Yamsuf. The Yamuna.
I saw one of my Rebbeim and Eretz Yisrael, I saw him just bend the coin.
That's it?
Yeah, destroy.
What happens to the Bechor? What happens to the Bechor?
Strong. Yeah.
What happens to the Bechor? Animals that are Bechor nowadays.
Bechor nowadays, good. That's when we do Bechoros, it's the first Tosos in that Masechta. I think it's one of the first Tosos in that Masechta that asks your very question. Like, how do we get around Bechor nowadays?
So what do you do?
You want the practical answer?
One of the loopholes. Sell it or partnership. Because
sell it, or with the money,
or not sell.
You sell the pregnant cow.
No, they sell the pregnant cow. Right, or they use legal loopholes. That's the short of it.
Would this also apply to junior men?
Meaning what?
To sell your pregnant wife.
No. If you say that the car does not apply, then the Bechor ben apply nowadays.
No. Bechor does apply. No. Wait. The Bechor does apply. What we can do nowadays is we can't eat the Bechor nowadays. But it has Kedushas Bechor. Now, we start off with the assumption that it has Kedusha. Your firstborn animal is going to have Kedusha. Problem is, now, once it comes into this world and it has Kedusha, I don't have a base of Mikdash. So I can't eat it. Right? I can't facilitate eating. So in theory, what you need to do is you need to wait until it develops a blemish, and once it has a blemish, and therefore no longer is qualified to bring broad as a karban, and then I could redeem it, and then I could eat it. That's in theory. But that's not practical, because are you going to do that with every Bechor that's born in your flock? You're not going to do that. So they come up with legal loopholes.
They sell it. They buy it back.
Not for now. Okay. Right. Kisalik Ravin Amar Lishmaita come into Rav Yirmiyah. Okay. Ravin goes back up to Eretz Yisrael. Right. Ravin, Rav Dimi are frequent flyers. And Ravin goes back and forth. He shows back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. And what he does is basically he's the word of mouth, right? I heard in Bavel. Where'd you hear it from? So usually you're going to hear it from either Ravin or Rav Dimi. Early Amoraim, they lived in the same generation as Rav Yochanan. So he says over all this. So Salik Rav, I'm sorry, Kisalik Ravin, Amar Lishmaita Kama to Rav Yirmiyah, and he said it over in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar and Rav Yirmiyah says, now Rabbi Yirmiyah is in Eretz Yisrael, okay? And he hears about how the Bavlim are having this discussion about eating Maaser Sheni and eating Bechor, and the necessity of a Mizbeach, and how do we know that? And when Rabbi Yirmiyah hears all this, so his head starts spinning. Amar Bavlai Tifshai. Oh my gosh, those Babylonians, they're so dumb. So Amato Diyasvi Ba'ar Chashuche Amashmaita Demechashcha. They live in dark lands, they say dark things. Okay, there was a tension, a constant tension between the communities above and the communities of Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's not. I'm sure the historians could say much more than I could, but it just happens to be that they were just two different yeshivas existing in two different communities, and they didn't always see eye to eye. And yeah, and occasionally they spoke sharply about one another. It was Torah, it was for the sake of discovering Torah and discovering truth, and they were sharp. They weren't dull. So Amish Maita de Mechashka. So because they live in these dark lands, those Babylonians, so they say dark things. Babel's a dark place? Okay, Iraq. Okay. So Lo Shmi Elaha de Tanya. So look, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I know all this already, and I don't need to resort to Rabbi Shmuel and Heket. I don't need any of that. I'll just show you a couple of brisas, and you'll see that basically we're going to make the same point. That you need Mizbeach. In order to eat, you need the Mizbeach. Now, I'll be honest with you. The Rabbi Yirmiyah approach is not going to be as simple as he's forecasting. In other words, when we get to the end of it, you'll see that the Babylonian approach is not as... is not as dark as originally reported. Look, one brisa says Haditanya b'shas tiluk masaos kashim nefsalim v'zavim mitzrayim mishtalachim chutz lamachanem. In the desert we traveled, right? We know we were in the desert for 40 years, and our basic job in the desert is traveling. That was our job. And when do we travel? Whenever we're told to travel, right? The clouds lift, and now we know. Okay, good. It's time to travel. And how exactly did we travel in the desert? So it is subject to a debate whether we traveled in a single file, not single file one by one, but single file meaning shave it after, right, tribe after tribe, or did we travel the same way that we encamped? Oh, okay. But the point is, however, that when we traveled, so the Mishkan would get disassembled. Right. And they would take down the curtains, and they would take everything down, and then they would take the Mizbeach and the Aron, and they put the Aron into the chest, and they would put all the krushim on the wagons, and they would travel. Now, while in transit, we can't eat karbanos, right? There's no Mishkan. The first price says like this. Watch this first price. It's so interesting. Bishan Stiluk Masalos, when we're traveling in the desert, Kachim Nifsalim. So all your karbanos become pasul. Right. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is not the right term. There's no Mishkan. Okay. V'zavim u'mitzarayim ishtulachim chutz l'mechitza. However, all those people who have to stay chutz l'machana, they still need to stay chutz l'machana. That point is fascinating. Right? It's so counterintuitive. Meaning, when you're traveling, you could argue there's no longer any form, there's no longer any structure of the B'nai Yisrael. Meaning, when encamped, so we have what's called Machane Shechina. Around that, we have what's called Machane Levia. Around that, we have what's called Machane Yisrael. And we know that when you're Mitzora, you have to be outside. You have to be Chutz Machane, totally outside. Okay, so fine. So that's when you're encamped. When we're traveling, you can make a very simple argument. Right, we lost our form, we lost our structure. The first brisa is fascinating. It says, no, you still have to be chutz l'machane, which I guess means that you have, when we're walking, you have to like be all the way in the back. Right? You can't walk with us. Right? I guess that's what it means. Okay? But that's not the main point. That's not why we're here. It's just in of itself, it's just interesting, this halacha, that when they were traveling, they still have to be chutz l'machane. But the real reason why we're here is the first statement of that first brisa. The first statement was that v'shas tiluk machanos, sorry, v'shas tiluk masaos kachim nifsalim. That's the part we really want to focus on. Okay, which means that you can't eat karbanos anymore, and we kind of understand why, because there's no longer Mishkan. Mishkan is dismantled and put away. Okay, v'tani idach b'shnei mekamos kachim nechalim. However, there's another brisa, and the other brisa says that in two places the kachim are eaten. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a very ambiguous and extraordinarily obscure second brisa. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? So contextually, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, they were standing and they were moving.
It's pretty clear that by the simple placement of this brisa in this context, we're talking about during the Mishkan. And the Shtei Mekomos seems to indicate, and again, admittedly, it's not that clear, but it seems to indicate that Shtei Mekomos means when they're standing and when they're moving. Okay, I'm just working us through this part. You're right. I'm just helping us all navigate. So habikashim kashim So my love habikashim kashim habikashim kalim. So the Gemara's assumption is: look, I'm eating karbanos even when the Mishkan has been disassembled. Okay. So I'm a Ravina. So my love habikashim kashim habikashim kalim. So isn't it? Are we not talking about kashim kashim and kashim kalim? Now, if all this is true, we're kind of stuck. Meaning, Brisa number one told us this again. This is the Rabbi Yirmiyah Eretz Yisrael approach. Brisa number one tells us that once they go into motion, nobody can eat karbanos anymore. The second Brisa says or indicates that even while they're in motion, so you can eat karbanos. So we are stuck between two Brisas. So what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to really offer us approaches.
That was the first approach.
No,
no,
no, no, no, no.
Was that
the,
when you're moving, you can't eat kachim.
My love, bekamaisa. Sorry, you are absolutely correct. You're
absolutely moving. You cannot do
kachim. No, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Rashi says it. Kamaisa bekachim kachim, habekachim kalim. Right? Okay. I'm sorry. I counted wrong. You're absolutely right. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My love, habekachim kachim, habekachim kalim." Good. So that's the first approach. That when it comes to kachim kachim, so the first brisa applies, meaning you need a mizbech, and the second brisa is talking about kachim kalim. Okay.
You can even when
you're traveling. Okay, and fine. So in other words, by kachim kalim, you don't need mizbeach. Okay, so I'm Ravina, sorry, correct. So Ravina says no, not necessary, meaning I don't have to resort to that. I don't have to go there. We could say like this. First we could say, because kalim below kasha, harabishmal harabanan. So first of all, we could say, no, both prices are talking about kachim kalim. The first brisa says you can't eat it. The second brisa says you can eat it. Reflecting two different opinions. One's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the other one's the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay. And Rashi says the first one, which went Rabbi Shmuel, Basar, Dam, Maaser Sheni, right? The two leaps, right? Depending on how you want to count it. Three, whatever. But the point is that the first brisa is the Rabbi Shmuel approach, which is you need mizbeach, period. In order to eat anything, kashim kalim, even as we just learned, Maaser Sheni, I need mizbeach. That's the first brisa. The second brisa that says, afilu b'shnei mekamos, it doesn't matter where you are, that's reflecting the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay. That's approach number one. Not an exciting approach, just a simple machlokas approach.
And
the machlokas is only by kachim kalim. Correct. The e by yisema have a kachim kachim. Or let's go a different approach. Mm-hmm. Both prices are really reflecting kachim kachim, and there is no machlokas, and it's not a question on the Babylonians. Umay b'shnei mekomos. And so what do we mean when we say shnei mekomos? Meaning what we're going to do now is we're going to reassess that second brisa. Because the second brisa, as I pointed out, is not really that clear what it means. It says shnei mekomos. So the simple pshat in the brisa is that even when they're traveling, when they're stationary and even when they're traveling, that's the shnei mekomos. The Gemara says, not necessarily. It could offer a different pshat. Shnei mekomos kodem shiyamdu levim es ha-mishkan ula'achar shiyifriku ha-levim es ha-mishkan. When the Mishkan was assembled, and even when the Mishkan was unassembled. Now, this is a tricky part, and Rashi spends a lot of time with this, and that is, this second answer of Shnei Mekomos, if you go back and look at that last line of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Now, there are only three lines of Gemara, so it's not... when we're on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, it's not that hard to lose your place. We could still do it, but it's not that hard. It's difficult. So Amar b'shnei mekomos kodim shiyamdu levim et hamishkan. So before the levim set up the mishkan, Rashi says Don't take that literally. It's, and again, as I mentioned, it's a little bit tricky, but Rashi argues very strongly that it means after the Levim set up the Mishkan. It's got to be, says Rashi, because the whole point over here that we're making is that in order to eat karbanos, I need a Mishkan. So there's no way that what the Gemara is trying to say is, oh, don't worry, before the Mishkan set up, you can eat karbanos. Can't be. It means after the Mishkan was set up, karbanos. Why is the Gemara speaking in such a misleading way? So Rashi's arguing, well, because of symmetry. Because the top line of the next amud. So for purposes of symmetry, kodem and achar, so that's why the Gemara chose this kind of language. But Rashi says, don't take it literally. It actually means la'achar. After they set up the Mishkan, and after they disassemble the Mishkan. And here's the point, okay? The way Rashi explains the Gemara. All this, everything I'm saying is in that long Rashi on the Amud Aleph. Meaning the basic answer over here is, I need the Mizbeach. I can't eat karbanos without the Mizbeach. I absolutely need the Mizbeach. And what it means is like this. When the Mishkan is set up, so good. So now, I have Mizbeach. I have the curtains around the Mizbeach. Right? And as Rashi argues, by the way, that the curtains were set up first. So first the curtains were set up, then the Mizbeach was set in place, and good. And now we can offer karbanos. Then we can eat karbanos while we're traveling in the desert, because now we're stationary, now the Mizbeach is set up. Good. And then, what's the second makom? Right? The Braisa says, Shnei makomos. What's that second makom? Meaning, I can still eat at the beginning of the travel. Now, what happens at the beginning of the travel? So the Mishkan is disassembled. But the order of disassembly is first the curtains come down, and then the Mizbeach is put away. After the curtains come down, but before the Mizbeach is put away, I could still eat my karbanos. I might have thought, Ma'u detema, let's go on in the Gemara. Ma'u detema ifsalu beyotze. You could have made a very good argument. It's an excellent argument. The curtains just went down. In order to eat karbanos, I need a mechitza. I also have to be confined in an area. Right? If I'm eating kachi kachim, which was what we're talking about right now, if I'm eating kachi kachim, I have to be in the azara, in the temple courtyard. So when they're traveling in the desert, there's no temple courtyard, but there is. There's curtains that surround the Mishkan. And that is the azara, that's the temple courtyard. So you could have made a very strong argument, no, even though there's Mizbeach, but once they take down the curtains, I can't eat it anymore. It's Psul Yotzeh. Chiddush, Kamash Malan. That's the Chiddush, that even though the curtains went down, I can still eat my Kachi Kachim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. That's a great argument. The Ema Hachinami. So, right? The Gemara says that does seem to be a very strong argument. So I'm a krav, nasa ol moed, alfa pishanasa ol moed hu. So the Gemara says gzeres akasav, meaning you're right. Based on what we know, it's a fantastic argument. But still, the nasa ol moed and the ol moed travels, even during travel, it still has the status of ol moed. Now we're not going to take that pasuk so literally that even while traveling, meaning the Mizbeach is put away, and now we're going to say, oh, don't worry. Oh, well, Moed, it's still fine. We're not going to take it that far. But what we will do is at the beginning of the travel, even though the chatz has been taken down, even though the curtains have been taken down, still I can get a couple more minutes in of eating my kachim before the Mizbeach is put away. Okay, that's good.
But even when they're traveling, the Mizbeach is still there. It may not be stationed, but it's still there. I mean, it's present.
It's put away.
It's dismantled. It's not revealed, but it's still...
It's dismantled.
And they also...
It's like a pagan.
Right. They filled it with dirt. It wasn't... It was dismantled.
Let me say the other day...
It's like a pagan.
Privacy to do the avoda. This is just the eating of the meat. Okay, so... So quick summary, right? This all was one long sugya, starting where we started on Samach Haman Aleph, the halacha of the inability to eat karbanos when you don't have a mizbeach. So we were talking about it in the context of the mizbeach got a chip in it. Okay, You're no longer able to eat karbanos. And the halacha that we record in the name of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, was that this is true for everything. This is true for your kachikashim, kachin kalim, and even Meister Shani. Okay? In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, we don't like that. We don't go for that. We believe in Eretz Yisrael that that's not true, because we have two brisos, which really talk about the traveling in the desert, but still the same point. Because in the traveling of the desert, they would put away the Mizbeach. So same basic idea. We don't have the Mizbeach anymore. One brisa says you can eat when traveling. The other brisa says you can't eat when traveling. So we here in Eretz Yisrael would like to make a distinction between kachim kachim versus kachim kalim. All right? And what Ravina did at the end of the sugya is say, no, I don't agree. In other words, we could have those brises in Eretz that they learned in Eretz Yisrael, and we could, I just simply explain, either the brises reflect the machlokas tanayim, or no. The second brisa that's talking about shnei mekamos is not talking about carte blanche to eat during traveling. It's only talking about those last moments when the Mizbeach was being dismantled. When the Mishkan was being dismantled. And even though the curtains are gone, as long as the Mizbeach is there, you could still eat it. Good. That's the end of that sugya. Amar Rav Huna. We start now a new sugya.
The first Korban Pesach was an exception. The very first one that they did.
Well, exception to what? Meaning they no, they had a Mizbeach.
The very first one.
Oh, in Mitzrayim.
What's that?
You're right. They didn't have a, correct. They didn't have a Mizbeach. Right. Right. Correct. That doesn't follow the regular rules.
That's
right.
One more difference between
Right. The Mishnayos and Pesachim say all the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Doros. You're right. Amar Avuna Amar Rav Mizbeach Shilo Shel Avanim Haya. All right, crash course in history. Really, really crash course. Okay, the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. 14 years they were conquering and dividing. Yeshua took 14 years to do that. Karbanos, what did they do then? So they set up in Gilgal. Gilgal's right next to Yericho. And they set up a temporary Mishkan Mizbeach in Gilgal for 14 years. Okay? Then comes Shiloh. Shiloh's long. 369 years Mizbeach was in Shiloh. Right? It's that little bit of Jewish history, which is not that little. Right? It's nearly four centuries of having a Mishkan in Shiloh. This was all during the period of the Shoftim.
You know why they chose to move it to Shiloh?
Why? I don't know. I don't know why Shiloh. I do know that Shiloh was in Shevet.
Why didn't they change it from Gilgal to Shiloh?
I'm not sure. But Shiloh was in Binyamin. Remember that we always want the base of Mikdash to reside in Shevet Binyamin. Okay, that's one of our basic rules. But no, I don't know. Fine, so Shiloh, 369 years. Then there was almost 60 years where we transitioned from Shiloh to the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo. There, it was a temporary one set up in Nov and in Givon. Right? Nov until Shaul killed everyone in Nov, all the Kohanim in Nov. And then it moved from Nov to Givon. And then after that, that was about 60 years. And then after that, finally, the Shlomo built in his fourth year of his rule, built the first Beis HaMikdash, right, in Yerushalayim, obviously. So, okay, that was a crash course. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Mizbeach shel Shiloh shel Avanim Haya. So that Mizbeach in Shiloh, that was Avanim. All right, it was permanent. Right, stones, poured cement, permanent. Shel Avanim Haya. If you look throughout Chumash, you're going to find it scattered, right? One's in Shmos, Shmos Chaf, right? The end of Parshas Yisro, right? Dvarim Chav Zion, another one, Dvarim, all over the place. But the Torah in three places describes Mizbeach Avanim. So, and what the Gemara is going to answer now, this is the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Drasha, is it actually is referring to three Mizbeachs. Echad shel Shiloh, echad shel Nov v'Givon, uveis olamim. Okay? You can only say this pshat in the Chumash, after the fact, meaning unless you have nevuah. But I'm saying, but once it's right, you couldn't say it before. The tochacha is mentioned twice in Chumash, one at the end of Pechol Kosai and one at the end of Kisavo. The Ramban on Chumash says, why two tochachas? So one's for the Bayis Rishon and one's for the Bayis Sheni. Right? It's easier to say those things after history unfolds. So then you could, now I see it. So shall know because shall give him shall base olam. So mezer ravacha barami eshi yardem in hashamayim bimei Moshe lo nistalka me'al mizbeach hanechoshes ela bimei Shlomo. So we had a fire descend from heaven, and it went down during the days of Moshe, and it continued until Shlomo. The eshi yardem bimei Shlomo lo nistalka acha ba Menashe v'silka, and Menashe, one of the evil kings of Yisrael. So he removed the fire. Now, v'im isa mikarahu distalikle. So the Gemara says, based on what you're saying, Rav Huna, that Shiloh was made out of stones, so what do you mean? So in other words, didn't we have a transfer of the Eish from Moshe's Mizbeach to the Shiloh Mizbeach? So distalikle. So who da'amak Rabbi Nassan, the time Rabbi Nassan omri Mizbeach, shal Shiloh shal nechoshes haya, chalu malei avanim. So one approach is the Rabbi Nassan approach. That is, that the Mizbech of Shiloh was made out of Nechoshes, it was hollow, and it was filled with Avanim. Right? Not the permanent structure that we necessarily envisioned. Rav Nachman Yisakam Amaylo Nistakul Nistakul Avatla. So Rav Nachman Yisak says, look, no, keep the previous brisa. The fire of Moshe's Mizbech did not cease. And you know what? Moshe's Mizbech was there. Moshe's Mizbech was right next to the Shiloh Mizbech. It's that simple. Mahi Rabbana Amei Shavivi hu hava amashtara. So one explanation is that the fire came down, hit Moshe's Mizbech, and sparks flew off and went onto the Shiloh Mizbech. Okay. Arapapa Amar Ushpiza Havanakat. The Zimnan Hacha. The fire is more like a guest. It's more like a visitor. Right? Sometimes on this one, sometimes on that one. But in other words, it doesn't, the fact that there was a permanent structure built in Shiloh doesn't necessarily negate the previous brisa. Okay. Let's go one more point in for today. Tanan Hasam, right? And it has to do with the fire. The second temple of Mizbech was larger than the first temple of Mizbech. You remember yesterday, I gave the dimensions of the first temple of Mizbech. It was 20 by 20. 20 by 20 burning area on the top, which now add 4 amos on each side, right? Or one for the walkway for the Kohanim, one for the Kronos, one for the Sovev, one for the Yesod. Add 4 amos on that side, 4 amos on that side. The first Mizbech that was built by Shlomo, total was 28 by 28. We know the second temple was 32 by 32, where our Mishnayos and Midos told us so. Second Mizbeach was 4 amos larger on each side than the first Mizbeach. Why? My taima, I'm Rav Yosef Mishum Delo Safek. Because, right, there was more. And when the Gemara says more, the Gemara's assumption is greater population for the second temple, more. And the Gemara says, what? That's not even true. Amrle Abayin, Hashem Mikdash Rishon, Dechsiv Be Yehud of Yisrael, Rabim Kechol Asher Al Hayam, Safek, Mikdash Sheni, Dechsiv Be Kol Akal, Ke'echar Arba Rivoy, Lo Safek, it's just not even true. The population of the second temple was smaller than the population of the first temple. Exile, many Jews stayed in Bavel. It's not true. So I don't understand. Why is the second Mizbech had to be larger than the first one? So Amalei Hasam Eishal Shamayim Messiah-san, Hacha Ein Eishal Shamayim Messiah-san. And the answer is very simple. For the first temple, you had the Eishman HaShamayim. The fire comes down from heaven, so you had divine fuel to burn the karbanos on the first Mizbech. Second Mizbech, man-made. It was all us. No Eishman HaShamayim. So therefore, it had to have been bigger in order to facilitate, because we had to provide the fuel in order for it to burn. Okay. Stop over here.